Father, we are so grateful for how you have met us today. I thank you, Lord, for your eternal love for us. Lord, that nothing could ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, I pray today, Lord, that people will be assured of their hope in you, that they will be encouraged to know, Lord, that the life they're living for Christ is not in vain. The labor that they are laboring for you, Lord, and the decisions they're making to say no to sin and yes to God, it's worth it to serve Jesus. Lord, I pray for encouragement on the body of Christ today, that you would strengthen us, Lord, by the word of God, by the character of God. Precious Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come today and minister to your people, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask, amen and amen. My message is very simple today. Put your hope in God. Turn to your neighbor and say, put your hope in God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 6 in the Amplified Version. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. We're going to start off with this verse. Put your hope in God. Hebrews 6:19. This hope, this confident assurance we have in Christ as an anchor of the soul, it cannot slip, it cannot break down under whatever pressure bears upon it. Do you like that? It is a safe and steadfast hope that enters within the veil of the heavenly temple, that most holy place in which the very presence of God dwells. I want to read that verse again because this is amplified, so it gives you like the full description of what's being said in an amplified way. Sort of like a paraphrase. This hope that we have in Christ, this hope that we have because we belong to God, is a confident assurance. We have it as an anchor. It's like an anchor for our soul that cannot slip, it cannot break down under whatever pressure bears upon it. It's a safe and steadfast hope that even enters behind the veil, that is the heavenly temple, where Jesus himself offered his blood at the mercy seat in heaven, and once and for all paid for our sins. Can somebody say amen? Amen. It's the holy place in heaven where Jesus, after his resurrection, went and sprinkled his own blood before the presence of God as an offering and as an atonement for our sins, so that our sins were paid for once and for all. So this hope that we have in Christ this morning, it goes beyond the earth. It goes all the way to heaven. If you can use your imagination with me for a second and see a long, long anchor, you know, like an anchor on a ship, and you see the chain that's connecting it all the way up into heaven that goes behind the veil. The veil was Christ's body that was broken so that you and I could have access to God. Are you with me this morning? When Jesus was sacrificed, there was an earthquake, and the temple in Jerusalem shook. And as the temple in Jerusalem shook, the veil in the temple ripped from the top to the bottom, signifying that the way to access, the way before God, was no longer exclusively just for a high priest once a year with sacrifices and animal offerings and blood from animals, but that God was saying to all of us, the way is now open through my Son, through the veil of his flesh, for you to come into my very presence and find a throne of grace and ask for what you need have need of and find help in the time of trouble. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's the hope that we have. Now, there's no lack of things in this life that can discourage you. I'm not going to even spend time on that because some of us came in here with a lot of burdens. You don't need me to tell you that the world is going through a hard time, that this world is a tough place to live. You don't need to tell me or need to hear me, excuse me, tell you that every family has its challenges, right? And that every family has its burdens. You have yours, I have mine. We could probably share horror stories of some of the things we've been through. Come on now. So in this world, we have tribulation. In this world, we have burdens. But But today, I believe God gave me this message because we need to remember that of all people in this world, we are a people of hope. We need hope. We have hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Of all the many virtues that you need as a Christian, hope is one of them. People everywhere need hope. This is a universal need for every person. They say you can live with a lot of things, you can live without a lot of things, but you can't live without hope. We've had many stories about people who were stranded on the ocean. They were shipwrecked. We've heard of people who were prisoners of war in a survival camp, in a concentration camp. They survived because they had hope that someday they would see their family again. They survived because they kept praying every day and they put their trust in God. They survived because they had this one important element going on in their life, and that is the element of hope. Everybody needs it. And as Christians, we are blessed to have an abundance of it. Somebody say amen. A biblical definition of hope is much different than the world's definition. The world's definition of the word hope is basically hope for the best. In other words, think positive. You know, you took a test and you hope you passed the test. You put an application in for a job and you hope you get the job. You know, you hope you meet the right girl. You hope you meet the right guy. But our hope as a Christian is a lot different. As Christians is a lot different. A biblical definition of hope means it's based in a person. Our hope is based in the person of Jesus Christ. It's based on the relationship that we have with God and what we have come to know by experience about God's concern for us and about his personal character, his attributes. I want to say that again. As a Christian, our definition of hope is different than the world. Our hope is wrapped up in one person. His name is Jesus. And our hope is based on a relationship that grows with Christ over a period of time. And we come to know and we come to rely on the love that God has for us. We come to know by experience that he is a good God. We come to know by experience that he has a good plan for our life. We come to know by experience when your back is up against the wall and you cry out to Jesus, Jesus walks in when others walk out. Hallelujah. Give the Lord some praise. Biblical hope is a confident expectation of good things in the future because of our faith in Jesus. I expect good not because I'm lucky. Amen? Luck will only get you so far. Come on, somebody say amen. But I have hope because I believe that God is good. I believe that God is merciful. I've come to know over a period of time that he cares about me. I've learned about what he means to me and that he cares about me. I've seen him send answers that were sort of, you know, just designed with his signature. David, this is for you. This has got my imprint on it. This answer is custom designed for you. I want you to know that I heard your prayer and that I love you in a way that's meaningful to you. So I sent a specific answer the way only you would understand. This is me and you. Have you ever had an answer from God like that? I want you to know that this is from me. It's got all the markings of a special delivery from heaven. Hallelujah. God is good. We have hope today regardless of what's going on in our world. Regardless of what's going on in our life, because our future is secure in Jesus Christ. Christian's hope is the fruit of God's love for us and his grace towards us. Turn in your Bible to 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17. 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17. Don't miss this today. The hope of a Christian is the fruit of God's love for us and his grace toward us. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us, and watch this, by his grace, gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. So for a Christian, hope is a result of God's grace and love towards us. He's literally imparting to us the encouragement of Christ. Let me read this again. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your heart and strengthen you in every good deed and word. This is the hope that comes from God himself. How many of you know that's the best hope of all? It's just like when Jesus said in John 14, my peace I give unto you. He said, not as the world. The world's peace is fickle, it's temporary, it's changeable, it's conditional, it's moody. How many of you have ever known anybody like that? They're moody, they're conditional, they're up one day, down one day, they like you, one day they don't like you. Of course, that's nobody here in this place right here. But people out there, they have all these problems. But seriously, this is the fruit of God's love for us. It's to put it in another way, to illustrate this, if you were brought up in a home, and unfortunately a lot of people were not, but if you were brought up in a home where you knew your parents would be home at night, you knew they'd have a meal on the table. If you scraped your knee, you knew they would come over and kiss the boo-boo. They would hug you when you were scared. When you woke up with a nightmare, mom would be there. After a while, if you were brought up that way, you would have a sense of confidence that there's somebody out there that cares about me. Come on now, somebody say amen. But this is what is lacking sometime in the church. We need to understand there's a Father up above looking down in tender love. That he cares about us. So much that he was willing to die for us. This is an inspiration of confidence that comes from God's track record. Over a period of years, I've come to learn that God cares about me. Have I been through stuff? You bet I have. Has my wife been through stuff? Yes. Have you been through stuff? Yes. But how many of you found God is faithful? How many of you found that he won't leave you? He won't forsake you? Psalm 42, verse 5, the psalmist said, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. Say it with me. Put your hope in God. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. I like that little word, yet. In other words, things are not going too good right now. But I will yet. God's going to win the day. Amen. Tomorrow's coming. Hallelujah. The sun will rise tomorrow. Hallelujah. It's Friday night and Jesus was put on the cross, but Sunday's coming. Hallelujah. The resurrection is coming. Hallelujah. I will yet praise him. Say it. I will yet praise him. Don't be downcast. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be downcast. Don't be downcast. Put your hope in God. The patriarch Job was probably one of the classic examples of somebody who went through the worst trial you could imagine. I mean, you have to actually have a strong constitution to read the book of Job because it's so sad it could actually make you depressed. But you see that God is victorious in the end. Amen? And Job was restored. Everything was restored to him twice as much as he had before, by the way, at the end of his life. But when he was in the middle of that trial, at the worst point in chapter 19, he still had hope in God. I love these words. It's not on the screen, but I'm just going to read them to you. Here's what he said to those people who were his friends who came to comfort him, all were telling him, you know, there's probably something wrong with you. That's why you're going through this trial. Have you ever had any friends like that? Job comforters? Well, what did you do wrong? God is punishing you. Did you sin? Did you do something? You know, and of course, sometimes we do suffer for our own mistakes. Let's not lie about that, right? But there's other times we're just suffering because we're going through a trial. And we didn't do anything, just life. We live in a broken world. We live in a world where people do not keep their word. And where there's brokenness and heartache and disease and so on. But Job was experiencing all of that. And to his friends who were judging him, he said, oh, that my words were recorded and that they were written on a scroll or engraved in a rock forever. He looks up and he says, I know that my Redeemer lives. Woo! And that in the end, he will stand on the earth. Even after my body has decayed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes and not another. How my heart yearns within me. I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. I don't know what kind of pit you may feel like you're in or what kind of darkness you may be fighting. But I want to tell you, there's a light that shines from heaven that can dispel any darkness in your life. Suicide has become a serious issue in our country. I was just reading some studies about it and some things that are just baffling. Social scientists don't understand why so many young people are struggling with depression and suicide. Our world needs hope. And we should be emissaries of hope of all people. I'm not saying we should go around with a plastic smile on our face and a fake, you know, cliche sayings like, trust God, everything is fine, you know, God is good, don't worry, you know, forget about it. You know, I'm not talking about being cliche in that sense of just, you know, being shallow. What I'm saying is have a ready word for somebody. Have a word of hope, a word of season. It says in Isaiah chapter 50 that the Lord God has given me an instructed tongue that I might have a word in season for those who are weary. Got a lot of weary people out there. You know, I told you the story of there was a teenager was in high school and the parents were away. This particular girl was in a deep state of depression. She had actually planned to take her life while her parents were away. And she was going to take their car and put it in the garage, and start the engine and leave the car running and commit suicide with carbon monoxide poisoning. And that week in school, just so happened, a teacher walked down the aisle, put his hand on her shoulder and said to her, I just wanted to tell you, you did a great job on that last composition that you did. And, you know, your life has great promise. That's all he did. She came back years later and told him that what that hand on her shoulder meant to her, that he gave her in that moment one thing that nobody else understood. She needed some hope. What the world needs is Jesus, just a glimpse of him. He will bring joy and gladness, take away sin and sadness. What the world needs is Jesus. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. You probably wouldn't want Jeremiah for your next door neighbor. You know, you talk about doom and gloom. I mean, he wrote the book of Lamentations. I mean, that gives you a hint right there. But even Jeremiah in Lamentations says, I will never forget, this is Lamentations 3:20-23, I will never forget this awful time that he's grieving the loss of his nation. Nation of Israel had come under judgment, was taken captive by the Babylonians. Yet, I still dare to hope when I remember this, that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Even the weeping prophet confessed his hope in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody needs hope this morning. God gave me this message. Hallelujah. The psalmist was a man after God's heart. But the devil hated him. How many of you know that when you're in this world, there is persecution? And if you want to live for God, sometimes you're putting a target on yourself. David was one of those men that Saul was jealous of him. King Saul was trying to kill him. And sometimes he was within an inch of his life being lost. But in Psalm 27, he says these words, for in the time of trouble, God will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he is my hiding place. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And then in verse 13, that was verse 5, verse 13 says, I would have lost heart. Another translation says, I would have given up unless I had believed that I will see the goodness of the Lord, not in heaven, but in the land of the living. But I get excited when I read verses like that. Because I've been at the point where I almost gave up. But then I remembered God's goodness. I believed in His goodness. I remembered He saved my parents' life when they were going through the war in southern Europe. And bombs were falling, the Allied bombardment of Sicily. And my parents were running for their lives and hiding under tables and hiding under the beds. And God spared their life. And they told me the stories about how many times their lives were spared. I remember when my daughter was diagnosed with stage 2 cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, just married 6 months, and how she had to undergo 9 months of chemotherapy. And there was an army of people praying for my daughter, Liz, all over the country, and how God spared her life. She's a mother of 3 children. She's serving the Lord. She's preaching this morning in Sarasota, Florida. She's actually preaching this morning in Sarasota, Florida. I remember God is a good God. Does it mean that I get everything I want? No. Remember, guys, we're not putting God on trial. You can't say to God, you know, I'll believe in you if you do everything I want. That's not really, first of all, that's stupid to do that. Pardon me for being so blunt. Forgive the pastor, everybody. Count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Forgive the pastor. But besides that, how small is that kind of God? That it's a God that you made up. If you have to make your God up and create your own God, He's no bigger than you. He's no bigger than you. But my God is outside of the universe. He spoke the worlds into existence. Hallelujah. He raised His Son Jesus from the dead. He rebuked death. Hallelujah. He can rebuke sickness in your body. He can add 15 more years to your life. Hallelujah. He can open the Red Sea. My God is a mighty God. Hallelujah. My God hears the voice of His children when they cry out to Him. Hallelujah. My voice goes up into His presence, right into His ears, the Bible says. I believe that I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Because I deserve it? No, not necessarily. But just because He's good. Just because He's good. Our hope is not just in the idea of hope or good luck or positive thinking, but the value of our hope lies in what it is placed in. Our hope is placed in the Word of God, over 7,000 promises, a God who keeps covenant with us. When you're saved, when you get saved, you enter into a covenant with God through Jesus Christ. God says, I will be your father, you will be my child. Now, it's great to be a child of somebody who's famous, somebody who's wealthy. You know, my daddy can beat up your daddy. But imagine being a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. My God created the universe. My God spoke the worlds into existence. See, when you are in a relationship with Christ, your hope is not circumstantial. Your hope is not placed in people or ideas. How many of you have ever lost money? Don't raise your hand. Have lost money in a risky idea. We lost $4,000 one time in this, you know, this. I guess it turned out to be one of those, what do they call that? Multi-level, yeah. Schemes. $4,000 mistake. Say ouch. So that didn't work out. There was a town that wanted to establish a monument because the town was celebrating the 100-year centennial. And so they set up a monument in the town square to celebrate the 100-year since the town's founding. And they bought this thing called an eternal flame. You know what that is? An eternal flame is what they have at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Washington. It's a flame. They have it at President Kennedy's tomb that never goes out. It's just constantly, fueled and constantly burning, constantly burning. So they bought an eternal flame. And the only thing is, when they open up the box, this really cracks me up. The box said, "This eternal flame is guaranteed for 3 years." See, that's this world for you. That's people. That's people, you know, like, but our hope is based in God's eternal love, His eternal power over evil, God's promises, 7,000 of them. "I will never leave you or forsake you. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every nation, make disciples, and I will be with you. My hope is built on God's love that is greater than my sin, is greater than Satan's hate for me. My hope is built on the fact that God's light is greater than any darkness. And my hope is built on the fact that even though I'm not perfect, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That God sees beyond my faults and He cares about me in my needs, even when I mess up. I have no fear of judgment because I know that my sins have been paid for on the cross by the blood of Jesus. I am confident today and have hope in God because the Lord says, I will not tempt you or test you above that which you are able to bear, but with the temptation will allow a way out that you may bear up under it." God cares about you. He cares about you. My hope is built on the fact that God has a purpose for my life. That other people may think that I'm very random, and maybe they think that my ideas are a little bit goofy. Do you ever come up to somebody and say, "Hey, you know what? I got a great idea for an invention. I got a great idea for this. Let's start this." And they look at you like, "Yeah, that's a stupid idea, you know." But today, I can tell you that God has a purpose for your life. A good purpose. Romans 8:28. "In all things, God is working for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose." Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope that we have, for God can be trusted to keep His promise." Say that last part. "For God can be trusted to keep His promise." He knows what you're going through, and He knows how much you can bear. God's purpose is always to make you better. The devil wants to break you down. God wants to build you up. And if you allow the Lord to work in your life, if you allow Him the freedom to be the Lord of your life, let Him be number one. He'll make you into a beautiful, beautiful masterpiece. Somebody say amen. We need to remind our children about stories of faith, stories of hope. Like Abraham, who didn't have any children, and God promised him he was going to be the father of nations. He and his wife had no children. There was an infertility issue going on there. But God kept His word. Hallelujah. And even after Isaac was born, God asked Abraham to offer Isaac back to Him. And Abraham's faith was being tested in this case. But the Bible says that in hope, he believed that God would keep His promise. Romans 4:18, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be." In other words, even when he had to offer Isaac, he was believing that God could raise him from the dead. Amen? Paul the Apostle, and I'll close with this one. I love this story. Paul was arrested and was on his way to Rome, and he was going to appear before Caesar. He had appealed because in the preliminary findings, he appealed to Caesar. So he was being taken to Rome. And a tremendous storm overtakes their ship. It was called a nor'easter. We have those today. We have nor'easters, right? Well, there was one in the Bible, Acts 27. You could read it when you go home, Acts 27. And the storm has caught them by surprise. Paul had warned them not to head out because he said the storm was coming. God had showed him prophetically that there was a storm coming. But the captain of the ship didn't listen to Paul the Apostle, he listened to his instruments. He looked at the stars. He said, I don't see any clouds. You know, I don't see any wind. I don't see it. It looks like a good, you know, it's going to be nice the next few days. Paul said, don't do it. But he went out anyway. He wasn't a believer. And then the storm was raging for 14 days. 14 days. The ship was falling apart. Long story. They threw all the cargo overboard. They threw the lifeboats overboard. And finally, the ship actually was broken into pieces. And in Acts 26, verse 20, 27, verse 20, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, watch this, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. So everybody, I believe there was 200 and something people on board. I don't remember, 270 something people on board. But Paul spent some time alone with God. He went down in the belly of the ship, was fasting, was praying, and an angel of God appeared to him. And here's verse 21 to 25. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. Watch this. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those, in other words, spared the life of all those who sail with you. Therefore, men, take heart, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. Brothers and sisters, I believe God that it will be just as he told me. Just as he told us. Does it mean everything is easy? No. Does it mean that nothing bad ever happens? No. But it means that we have an anchor, hallelujah, that goes behind the veil. We have an anchor that steadies our soul. We are planted on the rock that never can be moved. We have a God who gives good promises and good hope to his people. We have a God who has a good purpose for our life. I want you to renew your hope and renew your trust in him today. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn one more time to your neighbor and say, put your hope in God. Turn to your other neighbor and say, put your hope in God. Story is told of a man who was exploring Yellowstone, what is now today known as Yellowstone National Park. In the early days of the exploration, there was a man who was an explorer who has actually on top of a huge cave, but he didn't know it. He was walking across a hill. He stumbled into a hole, and he fell all the way down into this cavern, a huge cavern, 200 feet. And he was injured, and he couldn't move. And all he could do for days on end was just cry out, help, help. Help. There was water there, so he was able to drink some water, but he had no food. After many days of him crying out, finally someone heard his cry very faintly, and he was rescued and saved. And they asked him, how did you manage to survive all these days? Weren't you ready to give up? How come you didn't give up? He said, every morning, when the sun would rise, the hole through which I fell allowed a shaft of light to come into the cave. I followed that shaft of light all day long as the sun moved through the sky. That little shaft of light was my hope. Today, God wants to shine a shaft of light into your life. I declare this today prophetically. This is for someone here today. Life may seem hard. Life may be dark. But Jesus shines a light. Father in heaven, We ask you, Lord, that your hope would shine into our lives. Lord, maybe there's concern about our physical health. Maybe there's concern, Lord, about an unsaved loved one. Financial concern, Lord. A need for guidance. What school to go to? Who to marry? Who to date? What do I do with my life? I know you gave me this message, Lord, because you don't want your people to stumble in the darkness. And brother and sister, I pray and I declare, my wife and I, we agree in Jesus' name, that the light of heaven will shine into any darkness, and you will not stumble, but you will follow the light of God. You will read His Word. You will believe in His promises. You will trust Him that as He was with you in the past, He will be with you in the future. And if you let Him take your hand, He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will guide you safely to your intended destination. The Lord will be an army, like an army encamped around you. The Lord will be your glory and the lifter of your head. Your countenance will be changed. Hallelujah. Your body will feel new vitality because you have trusted Him. Hallelujah. In whom there is no shadow of turning. Hallelujah. Lord, I trust you. Open a window, Lord. Lord, I feel like I'm in a cave, oh God. Breakthrough. Breakthrough with purpose. Breakthrough, Lord. Take me out of the doubt. Take me out of the pride. Take me out of the hardness of heart, Lord, that has kept me from you, Lord. I want to be close to you, Jesus. I want to be close to you, Lord. I want your light to shine in me. In Jesus' name. And touch these families. Would you pray, honey, for that? Those families that they're standing in front of.
We thank you, Lord, that you've heard our prayers and you are close to those who are brokenhearted. It says you are near those who are brokenhearted, Lord. So today, God, we ask the great mender of broken hearts, the one who owns all the pieces of our lives, even though they seem shattered, you hold them in your hands and you could put them back together again. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that there's no place too deep, too dark, too separate that you cannot reach. For us standing here or for our loved ones or for ones we're concerned about. And Lord, we state right now our faith. Hallelujah. State your faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because that's what Satan is after. He's after your assurance and your love and your devotion to Jesus Christ. State your faith. Lord, we know you have never failed. Hallelujah. We know that our hope is in you, Lord. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. Lord God, you are true, Lord. Every word you've promised is true, Lord. And even though we admit to you right now, we don't see how, we believe you will do it, God. You've never failed. Your compassion and your greatness is new every morning. Lord, I pray we would hear testimonies. And Lord, I pray we would not fail to give you the praise and testimony. It's like some of us, I feel like a word, some of us get so many answers to prayer. And then we ask for the next one and the next one. And the Lord says, give me the glory. Give me the honor. Give me the praise. We're expecting a great testimony service, Lord. And we will give you the honor and the praise. Strengthen our brothers and sisters today, Lord. May they leave different. May they leave with strength. May they leave with hope. May hope dawn. May hope dawn in their hearts right now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.